there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Stocking Stuffers, y'all. I'm Jeff Searcy.
I'm Jay Logsdon. Oh, I want to do an accent, too.
Do it.
Oh, this is Le Stocking Stuffers.
Oh, oui, oui. We're talking about the deadly games.
Someday we will.
Someday we will, yes. All right, Jay.
I know you got something planned real fast.
Yep.
It's been a couple months. You done anything spooky?
Not really, no. Haven't been a whole lot. I've been focused on some other non-spooky pursuits other than writing the horror anthology that's going to come out during our spooky season.
Did you see M3GAN 2.0?
I have not.
Jeff, it fucking sucked. I'm so disappointed.
Oh, well,
I feel like I was lied to.
I was afraid of that. That's why I've held myself back from seeing it, because I was like, if it's bad, then I'm going to be very disappointed.
All I wanted was M3GAN to fight the rogue AI.
Mm.
That's all I wanted. And you get that, and then the plot does like a dramatic like 180, and it becomes like evil AI with nuke codes. Like, we have to like Mission Impossible our way inside this underground base.
Okay.
I was really disappointed. I was so mad. And then the obvious new guy who's the girl's boy, like the main character's boyfriend, the lady who made M3GAN, like, oh, he's her love interest. And it's like, he's clearly the bad guy. Like, come on. And he is. He winds up being the bad guy.
Of course.
Also, I've got one other thing before we dive in.
Go ahead.
Open one of these.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
We got some Return of the Living Dead blind boxes from Super 7.
Oh, God, I hope I get trash.
They're barrels of trioxin.
Come on, trash.
Riveting podcasting going on right now. Yes.
Listen to the rappers. Ah, yes. No, God. The cellophane is so strong, Jay.
So I will say, while Jeff's trying to get his open, you could get Zombie Trash, Zombie Suicide, Zombie Suicide Neon Green, Zombie Trash Neon Green, Mystery Figure, or Tar Man. I think you got Trash.
I did. I did indeed.
I got Neon Green Trash.
Sweet.
Cool.
I'm happy with that, yeah.
Neato Torpedo. I'll have to take a... Here, let me take a quick picture of those before we can post it with the episode. All right, you can get started.
Okay, Jay. Now I done told y'all before, the swamp's got eyes. Not just the gators. Not just them skeeters the size of your thumb, neither. I mean real eyes. Old eyes. Eyes that been watching since before man laid a single plank in these parts. And there's folks who think they can own the swamp. Eat from it. Take from it. Make a living out of the mud without giving nothing back. Them's the ones the swamp swallows. This is the story of Vernon Duval, a man who called himself the Crawfish King. Only thing was, in the bayou, when you call yourself a king, there's always something bigger ready to eat the crown right off your fool head. This is, of course, the Crawfish King from Uncle Pignuckle's Midnight Tales.
Hells yeah.
Self-promotion. Insert now. Jay locks and insert spooky swamp sound effect.
Caw, caw!
Yeah, there we go.
Auga!
Perfect. The sun hadn't been up long, but the Louisiana air was already thick enough to chew. Vernon Duval sat on the porch of his... He's chewing the air over there, folks.
Still dejected, boots propped on the rail, a half-burnt cigar drooping from his lips. From where he sat, he could see the silver mist lifting off the swamp's waters, and in it, the faint ripples where his crawfish traps sat waiting. Vernon wasn't just any fisherman, at least not in his own mind. He had 50 traps strung up from here to the cypress grove, and he could haul in more crawfish in a week than most folks saw in a year. He wore a crown, too. Well, a plastic Mardi Gras crown with fake jewels glued on it, but he wore it with the swagger of a man born to rule. "They'll write songs about me one day," Vernon muttered, flicking ash into the water. "Vernon Duval, King of the Bayou." But folks around these parts didn't think of him so kindly. Some called him greedy. Others said he took too much, never leaving enough for the gators or the birds or the other fishermen. Old Mama Celestine said from down the river, told him straight to his face that the swamp had rules, and he was breaking every one. Vernon had laughed, showing the gold tooth he'd won in a poker game. Rules ain't no rule, except the man with the most crawfish wins. That night, Vernon went out in his boat, lantern swinging on a hook, cutting through the black glass water. He liked pulling traps at night. The swamp was quieter, less competition. The only sounds were the gators pushing off, the frogs singing, and the occasional splash of something big sliding off a log. But that night, the swamp was wrong. No frogs, no night birds, just the slow drip of water from the cypress boughs and the hum of his lantern. When Vernon reached the first trap, he pulled it up with a grunt and nearly dropped it. The trap was empty, not a single crawfish. He moved on to the next, empty, and the next one, empty again. By the time he reached the 10th trap, he was cussing loud enough to wake the dead. 50 traps, all stripped bare. It wasn't possible. Vernon drifted deeper into the swamp than he'd ever gone before, chasing some notion that maybe the crawfish had moved further out. The moon was barely a sliver now, and the water seemed to get thicker, and the air colder. And then he saw it. A light. It wasn't another fisherman. No boat, no paddle. Just a glow, greenish-yellow, floating low over the water. Against his better sense, Vernon followed it. The boat slid into a cove he didn't recognize. Strange trees leaned over the water, draped in moss so heavy it looked like rotting curtains. The light he'd been following hung just ahead, and in the water beneath it, something moved. At first he thought it was a log. Then it rose, slow and deliberate, and then he saw it was a crawfish, but no crawfish that had ever lived on God's green earth. It was the size of a man. Its claws were as long as sides, black and gleaming. Its eyes burned red, and its shell was covered in scars, barnacles, and strange carved markings like the voodoo charms that were kept in the windows of some of the old wise women out in the swamp. The thing's antenna swept the water, and it opened its claws. Vernon heard the snap of wet bone. His jaw dropped. What in hell's name? The crawfish king of the swamp lunged. Vernon paddled hard, but the beast was faster. It came up under the boat, knocking it sideways. Vernon lost his cigar, his crown with its fake jewels, tumbling into the black water. The claws shot up, snapping through the side of his boat. He scrambled, grabbed his paddle, and he smashed at him, but the shell barely chipped. The beast's claw caught his boot, yanked him down into the water, and the swamp swallowed him whole. When the morning came, all that was found was Vernon's boat, split clean in two, and his plastic crown floating nearby. Some say the giant crawfish dragged him down into the mud, keeping him there like a trophy. Others whisper he's still down there, half man, half crawfish, waiting to claw apart anyone who takes too much from the swamp. Mama Celestine just shakes her head when folks ask when the swamp's got a king. She says it's already got one, and he ain't wearing no crown. You see now, don't matter how many traps you set, how much you think you own the water, the swamp lends you riches. Till the day she decides you took too much. The end.
I like it.
Kind of doing like a Goosebumps thing for adults.
I liked the giant crawfish. I think that's great. Yes. Reminds me of that meme about like the people who are like, you know, if you just like get a crab into larger surroundings, it'll just grow to fill those surroundings. Let's make a giant crab.
We should.
Made me think about that.
So many things evolve into crabs. It's crazy.
Yeah. Oh boy, crab people.
Zoidberg.
Yep.
I also had something I wanted to discuss with you, Jay.
All right.
Now.
Sorry, listeners. I don't know if you can hear that. There's some weird noise. I don't know what it is.
There's something weird going on. Is it a giant crawfish? Oh, speaking of Jay Logsdon, we forgot to wish Jay Logsdon happy birthday on the podcast.
It's okay. No big deal.
Huge deal.
My birthday corresponds with the birthday of the podcast. More or less.
Yeah, pretty close. All right, Jay. Now, you know, there's some horror movies that we would probably consider to be pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know. You're not that big of a Shining fan, are you?
It's yeah. I mean,
I'm kind of mixed on it. I mean, I see why people like it, but
there are things I like about it. I think if it didn't have like the attachment to Stephen King, and I think kind of if it was its own thing, which I mean, it kind of is because Kubrick kind of did his own thing.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't know.
But I know you are a Texas Chainsaw Massacre fan.
Yeah.
And I have seen some real hate cropping up for this movie recently, Jay.
Who?
Lots of people. In fact, there's you know those people who hate John Carpenter? I think this is an overlap from them.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
Let me read this review that I stumbled across the other day on Amazon for Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
All right.
So let me get this straight. A bunch of hippies break into someone's property, and then the homeowner's family gets mad and chops them up. That's not horror. That's rural zoning enforcement. The camera work looks like someone filmed it on a potato. Leatherface looks terrible. And the ending? She's laughing hysterically. Oh, wow. So scary. 0 stars for this trash. And I was like, well, go ahead and talk to her.
I don't think they break in. They're literally going in looking for help, and they find an open door. And, you know, you hear a lot about Southern hospitality. Like, they're looking for help to, restart the... Restart the van?
Yeah, the van's broken down, yeah.
And you know, and so they're looking, like, they're not, I wouldn't say they're breaking in. In fact, they're kind of sent there by Cook.
Now, if it was just that one, I'd be like, yeah, whatever, some idiot on here typing about something they don't understand. But no, this one I found on the Amazon app itself. Home Depot Horror. So basically the plot is, what if we gave a guy a chainsaw and let him do whatever? Congratulations, you made a boring-ass movie. Everyone looks sweaty enough to fry an egg on their foreheads. The camera work is shakier than my grandpa's hands after 3 cups of coffee. And Leatherface runs like he's in a diaper. It's called the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but the body count is like 5 people. That's not a massacre. That's like a bad day at the meat packing plant.
Oh, don't tell this person about Texas Chainsaw Massacre that begins. Talk about a bad day at a meatpacking plant.
And I was like, wow, that's 2 reviews of this movie that sound totally bogus, but whatever. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to Reddit and search Texas Chainsaw Massacre on a few of the film subreddits. Why won't they stop screaming? I made the mistake of watching this at night, which was fine, until the screaming started. Then it never stopped. Everyone in this movie screams like they're trying to call for help across 3 counties. The sound design is terrible. Chainsaw noise, shriek, someone breathe into the microphone, over and over and over again. The ending is just some sweaty bitch flapping her arms in the back of a truck while Leatherface dances like a mosquito just bit him in the ass.
I mean, yeah, that is kind of how it ends. I mean, I think she's hysterical because of everything she just witnessed. But yeah, but that's like, I think for a lot of people, like, they don't understand. You would react differently if this actually happened to you. I'm not saying that, like, you know, but like, I'm pretty sure if you watched like your entire, like, all your friends and family get killed and like tried to have them force fed you, you'd probably be a little hysterical too afterwards.
Make it make sense. All these are 1-star reviews, by the way. The plot, and I use that term loosely, is kids wander onto private property, get killed by a family of cannibals. That's it. No twist, no resolution, just sweaty hippies getting turned into ribs. It's like if Deliverance and Yard Sale had a baby. Also, Leatherface changes masks like it's a fashion show, but no one ever addresses it. Makes me think the director was just playing with props. I think I'll stick to City Life.
And I think Leatherface changes masks because it's going to be a party. Yeah. So, like, Leatherface puts on his fancy mask.
Nah, it's stupid, Jay. It's stupid. Grainy garbage. People call this a raw, gritty masterpiece. I call it a blurry student film where everyone forgot to shower. The cinematography looks like it was filmed through a jar of bacon grease. The actors appear to have been kidnapped from a gas station. And the family dinner scene, it's just Thanksgiving in Florida. 0 stars for making me want to Clorox my TV screen.
Hmm. Man, there's so much noise going on. I have no idea what's going on.
I don't know what's going on either. So, of course, I was like, wow, there's a lot of hate out here for Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I thought this was fairly well regarded. This one, I'm assuming, is from a boomer, Jay, because it was on Facebook, and it's in all caps.
Oh, boy.
The worst movie I have ever seen in my God-given life. I don't know who in Hollywood decided that this movie was a good idea, but they ought to be locked up and fed to their own chainsaw. It's not even a movie. It's a 2-hour screaming contest filmed in someone's sweaty backyard. Everybody in it looks like they haven't showered since the Johnson administration. First off, it's called the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Where's the massacre? 5 people is not a massacre. That's a Tuesday in Detroit. And what's with chainsaw being 2 words? Who spells it like that? Was the director too busy bathing in pig blood to use the dictionary? And don't even get me started on Leatherface. He's supposed to be scary, but he runs around waving his arms like he just stepped on a Lego. Half the time he's wearing a different mask, like some kind of ugly Miss America. Is that supposed to be art? It's not art. It's laundry day at the psych ward. The sound in this movie is a crime against humanity. It's just a constant roar from the chainsaw and women shrieking at a frequency that could shatter my chandelier. I had to turn the volume down to 2, and I still think my ears are bleeding. The final scene, some half-dead woman laughing and flailing in the back of a picnic. Oh, I think he meant pickup.
In the back of a picnic.
While Leatherface does a little twirl like he's in the Ice Capades. What is this, a ballet for people who eat roadkill? 0 stars, worst movie ever. If I wanted to watch a bunch of inbred lunatics yelling in the middle of nowhere, I would have went to one of my family reunions.
R.I.P. their family, I guess. The thing for me is, like, I think it's implied there are more people than it's just those 5. Like, those are the ones we see.
The ones we see, but yeah, it's implied that they've done this to a lot of people.
And they are the ones that dug up the gravesite at the beginning. Like, there's a whole lot going on. For a lot of these people, too, I don't know, if you didn't like this one, give Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 a shot. It's a much different movie.
Yeah, that's true.
And arguably, I like it better.
I prefer 2.
I think 2 is so much fun.
And this is the final one, Jay. This was on r/film. Spirit Halloween trash made by people who think sweat is a special effect. This movie is proof that Hollywood has been ripping people off for decades. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre is just a low-rent slasher filmed in someone's backyard with props they could have got from Spirit Halloween on clearance. Leatherface...
They couldn't. Spirit Halloween didn't exist in 1974.
Hey. True. And Leatherface, yeah, he looks like he's wearing one of those scary but safe for ages 8+ rubber masks you see next to the $12.99 fog machine. And the chainsaw, better believe it doesn't even have a chain on it half the time. I mean, come on. Were these guys too
safety?
Were these guys too stupid to stay out of the chainsaw? I mean, yeah, you got a point.
Yeah.
And just a lot of noise and flailing, like he's trying to scare crows out of a field. The whole family in the movie looks like they should be the employees you see working at a Spirit Halloween that pops up in your old Kmart. Dead-eyed, sweating, wearing clothes that smell like they've been in a box since last year's final clearance sale. The kind of doughy, pudgy, middle-aged dads who, yeah, call it a day job at Spirit Halloween belong to this movie.
Got me pegged.
Everybody keeps calling it raw and real. No, it's cheap and smelly. It's basically a 90-minute advertisement for why you should never shop for costumes after October 15th. Even the blood looks like kind of fake gore you get in plastic bags labeled Zombie FX Kit $4.99. And let's talk about that ending. Final girl, scream, laugh, in the back of a pickup, while Leatherface waves his chainsaw around like he's auditioning to be the new mascot for Spirit Halloween. I half expected the screen to fade to black and simply say, "Now hiring, apply within."
I do have a question. I do have a bone to pick with, No, never mind. No, they're right. I got, no.
Oh, and the final rating, I forgot. 0 stars. I'd rather spend an afternoon listening to a Spirit Halloween animatronic say trick-or-treat on repeat than ever watch this sweat-soaked pile of garbage again.
I will say Leatherface has been a mascot at Spirit Halloween. That's what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
All right, well.
Well, I think on that note, so once again, people have no taste.
Yeah.
So,
That's the thing. I do think part of it is like so many big blockbusters look so good and blah, blah, blah. And it's like people don't realize that like to get to where we are now, we had to have movies that looked worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I truly think there are people who just don't understand that.
Well, it's kind of like how people are like The Exorcist isn't even scary. It's like, yeah, it's not scary now, but that was a transitionary step to what we do get now.
It's not scary if you've seen like Hereditary.
Yeah.
But if you saw Exorcist first.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's the thing. It's like you can't just. People don't judge anything in context. I think that's the problem. It's like they take everything as if, you know, it's supposed to be as good as everything else you've ever seen.
I think that's a thing you and I have ran into a lot, like with a lot of the reviews we read, where it's like, no, like, you know, on its merits, like, should any, you know, I'm trying to think of like the WNUF movies, should we rank those as highly as we've ranked, like, you know, the Halloween movies? No,
it's not.
But like, for what each movie is, like, yes, that's absolutely what they deserve to be.
Yeah. No, it's like it's like with everything else in related to entertainment, it's graded on a curve compared to other stuff. You can't just set it's like, this is the arbitrary score we use for everything. Because you're going to have a lot of stuff that's at the bottom then.
Yeah. Well, anyway, if you've got bad opinions about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, or about movies we like, or if you've got opinions about those reviews Jeff read, or thoughts about Uncle Pig Knuckle and the Crawfish King and, I don't know, Return of the Living Dead blind bags, or if you thought Imthrigan 2.0 was good, send us an email, horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. Get in touch with us on social media. We're all the places at Horror4Holidays. That's horror, the number 4 holidays. Horror4Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us comments. Go to all the podcatchers. 5 stars, 0 stars if you could. Tell us how terrible the show is, as usual. We'll know you're a real fan if you drop the 0 stars. Tell these sicko perverts, Jay, what we're going to be watching next.
We're going to be watching a little... Fire up that Tubi once again, Jeff. We're going to be watching a little movie called Good Tidings.
Oh, boy.
It looks nuts.
We shall see.
I think in a good way.
Okay, good. I was going to say, nuts in a Christmas Craft Fair Massacre way? Or?
There's this new Good Tidings. Have you heard about this new Good Tidings? I've heard it's supposed to be nuts.
Yeah, we should go see that.
Jeff, have you seen Friendship yet?
I have not.
Okay, you need to do that. You need to rectify that mistake.
I was going to say, I'm probably just going to go home and buy it and watch it, because I've been thinking about watching it.
Oh, it's so fucking good. Oh my god. Have you heard? There's this new Marvel out. It's supposed to be nuts. We should totally go watch that.
I agree.
All right. Anyway, we'll see you next week for Good Tidings. Thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Bye.